Hey guys, this is Wolf Hoffman from Accept, and you're watching CMS TV Meta.
It is your classic metal show right here on the classicmetalshow.com. Kicking off the show tonight, we heard something from Hardline with a rhythm from a red car, a nice summer song since it was a very summer-like day here today. And we also heard Axel Rudy Pell there with Only the Strong Will Survive, and a guy who probably one of the best survivors or biggest survivors I've ever known is my good partner and friend, Chris Aiken. What's going on there, Chris?
What's up, man? How we doing?
Are you Super Mario tonight? Are those the gold coins behind you?
That's as close to gaming guy as I can get. For a guy that owns a gaming place, that's as close as I can get.
I'm going to call you Super Chrisio.
That's right.
He's back there collecting his gold coins.
Instead of Luigi, I'll be LeChubby.
There you go. Well, here we are. We're back at the Classic Metal Show. We just heard three songs featuring your good friend and partner, Johnny G-O-L-E.
Yes.
He'll be part of the show tonight.
He is. He'll be on in a little while, actually.
It'll be nice to have Johnny back on the show. You know, he's been on the show once before, and it was a good chat with him then. I mean, obviously, it's not such a big deal for you because you talk to him all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, this will be my first chat since Thursday.
Holy shit.
But this will be a fun chat, at least. This will be about music, so that's
fun. Yeah, that's always good, and that's always fun, and you know, being a veteran in the music business, you know, he's got a lot of good insights and stories, and, you know, he could pretty much answer any questions, I imagine, that you could ask about the music biz or his personal career and, you know, various musicians he's played with and
that
kind of thing. So that's always fun to have a guy who's, you know, had a broad career like that.
Absolutely. And he's got a new record. Axel Rudy Pell has a new record, Risen Symbol, I believe it is called.
All right.
So, you know, he can shamelessly shuck that, as well as really shamelessly shucking that he'll be at Pinball PA next Sunday. All right. With me.
Well, very good. So, it's a good time to have Johnny on the show to talk about these things, and being that he is making a personal appearance for you. That's also exciting as well. So, especially since it's right up, right up the gaming alley. Since you are an owner in probably the largest, arcade in the eastern half of the U.S. anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, I'm at least one of them. I don't know if I'm the largest. I think one of the
largest arcades in the eastern half of the U.S. I think the other one, what is it, like in New York or something?
Atlantic City is the real big one. And I think that one has 600 machines.
Okay.
We have 420. So we're pretty damn big.
Yeah, absolutely. So, having Johnny make an appearance, since he's, so involved with the gaming music, it's kind of pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be fun. We're gonna have a good time.
Did you get all your particulars ironed out as far as like the back line and the music and the as far as like the PA systems and all that fun shit?
Yeah, we did. We hired a company, and they're coming in Thursday to set it up. And you know, we've got the video. Johnny's guy sent us the video that's going to be like kind of the band, I guess, backdrop and whatnot. And we had to buy a screen, so we got a screen now so that we can, you know, project the gaming stuff while he's performing. It's a thing. Believe you me, it's a thing. But we're all set. The last thing we got to do is Ed's got to send me, if he booked it, you know, I trust him to book it because he's there, our hotels for me and Johnny, but other than that, we're all ready to go.
Right. Well, will he be playing a Guitar Hero guitar during his performance?
I have no idea. I can honestly say I don't know. I've never experienced the Crush 40 experience, so I don't know what he does on that.
Right, right. Remember how big Guitar Hero was? Remember how huge that was?
It was huge, yeah.
And people bought the shit out of that. And then that, what was the competing game? Was it
Rock Band?
Rock Band, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those two, you know, people were having all kinds of Guitar Hero or Rock Band competitions and, you know,
Dude, they were doing it at bars like karaoke.
That's what I'm saying. They were having these competitive, you know, playoffs with people who could, you know, move their fingers on the little colored buttons,
you know, yeah.
That kind of a thing, you know, but what's so funny is that, it just died out.
Yeah. Everybody mastered the game. Like my son, Zach, was huge into it.
Right.
Like, and it was cool as far as it did introduce that generation to Megadeth and Metallica and Korn and, you know, a bunch of stuff that was starting to age out at that point.
Sure.
But they all mastered it. Like my son could play it at one point without the music even on. He would turn the song on and he'd just be like, and just would score a perfect score without even having the music on.
Right.
So they all just got too good for it. And then, you know, and then the music industry does like it does and fucked itself in the ass by selling expansion packs with like 10 new songs for $30 or whatever. And yeah, people just said no.
I was just going to say, you know, they kind of saturated the market too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So they just more or less killed the goose that laid the golden guitar.
Mm-hmm, they did. So yeah. It died.
Right? Yeah.
But it was fun for a while.
I mean, I just think about, you know, I never was really into the home gaming systems. I, you know, I'm an old school guy. I like the arcades myself. You know, I like the feel of an arcade machine rather than, you know, sit there with a little joystick in your hand. And that just, you know, I've played it and stuff, but it just wasn't enough for me. You know, I got to go get that game system. You know,
it's
never been enough to prompt me to do that. My sister was really into that. She had just about every gaming console that
you
can imagine. And, you know, I had plenty of exposure playing some of the games at her home, but it never went to the point where, you know what, I'm going to go get that for myself. You know, it's like, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, some of it's cool. A lot of it's cool. And, you know, I watch Anthony Cumia playing the Call of Duty. He does that pretty frequently. Where he's on YouTube for like 4 and 5 hours sitting there playing his Call of Duty.
Right.
You know, and the graphics and the game itself is, you know, it's pretty intense, you know, and I can understand it. I get the whole premise of how it can be so addictive. So you just want to sit there and play and play and play. But for me, I don't think I could just sit there that long and just be a gamer for hours on end.
Yeah, I used to play a lot. Quite honestly, I have a PlayStation, I think 4. I don't even know, but I'm pretty sure it's a PS4. My kid gave it to me, and I don't think I've turned it on in 5 years. And honestly, the last time I turned it on was because I needed a DVD player when I bought the Porky's collection. I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything to watch it on, so I had to put it in on the gaming system to watch it.
Sure. Hey, remember how big the Wii was when it came out. Oh man, everybody had to get a Wii and people were lining up for that damn thing, and you know, they were fighting each other in the aisles to get the last one, and you know, people were making reservations to get one, and it's like, holy shit.
Dude, I stood outside in a blizzard to not get one for Christmas. on that year that was hot. There's a little game store over in Northfield, I guess, you know, wherever that Walmart is over there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little gaming store in there, like a GameStop or something. And I stood in line it was a fucking blizzard, just snowing and blowing and like 20 degrees. I stood in line for like 4 hours to get one. And I was like three people after they sold out. I was like son of a bitch. Oh, I was mad. I was fucking mad.
Did you end up getting one somewhere else?
Yeah, but not for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
I got it like 2 months later. Because 2 months later, they had a million of them. And, you know, hey, it's a clearance sale on this shit.
Oh,
but you couldn't get it for Christmas, man. You had to go out and get lucky, and I didn't.
Yeah. So that was another one that was just like over the top, and people died in contest to get that. Remember that lady drank so much water? She died of water toxicity or something like
that. Sure.
You know, right. She drank so much water at a radio station that she died. She went home and died.
Yeah, well, that was her own stupidity.
I know, but still, that's ridiculous. But regardless of that, that's how crazy people get for gadgets, you know.
They do. They certainly do.
Yeah, and the other one that I never understood either was people who stand in line when the new iPhone comes out or something.
I don't get that at all.
I mean, I don't know. Is that a thing anymore? Do people still do that?
I don't think so, because you can order them and have them delivered to your house now. Like, they'll deliver it on release day. So I don't think it's as much. I think probably it's some of the bougier, like New York City or whatever. Where it's like an event to be outside for the iPhone. Yeah, I don't get that.
What's so special about having to get the phone first?
I don't know.
I don't get that.
And the other thing with that is the phones are always fucked up. You want to wait until they have at least patched the software once.
Whatever the glitches are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree with that. That's the same thing when a automotive company comes out with a new model car.
Yeah.
Typically, you don't want to buy the first year.
Yeah, you don't want to get that car that rolls out in September with the next year's number on it, because that car's a piece of shit. That is the COVID vaccine of cars.
Yeah, no shit.
You know, it's just fucked up, but it's supposed to work nicely, but it never does.
No, absolutely not. Well, I don't typically do this, but somebody keeps calling and calling and calling the CMS line. It's got to be goddamn important.
It must be Tim.
It's got to be Tim. Hey, Alan Kill caller, you're on the air.
It ain't fucking Tim. It's me. What's up, man?
What's up with yourself?
You know what? I'm calling so much because you have a guest person today, so I know any callers are kind of fucked if they don't get it, like, now, the call-in.
We got a six-hour show. I mean, Johnny will be on for about 40 minutes.
Yeah. First of all, rest in peace, Dabney Coleman. You guys agree with that, right? Dabney Coleman.
Major Dad.
Yeah. Listen, I'm calling before your guest comes on. I want to hear you guys. Did you guys see any video of Mick Jagger with the new Rolling Stones show? Have you guys seen any shots of that yet?
Yeah, we played some last week.
Yeah, so what's your thought? Is this guy on drugs? I think he's doing like a Biden cocktail. That's my question. Is he on a Biden cocktail? This guy's 80 years old. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, if you watch last week's show, you would see what our thoughts are, because we actually played quite a bit of the show, and we discussed the energy and the ability for Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood to still get out there and do it at their advanced age.
I didn't watch the show. It's probably 4 o'clock in the morning when you talked about that. I watched the podcast.
That's why we download or upload it every week, so you can get 1 hour of the show through the week.
Is he on drugs? Do you think fucking Mick Jagger's on fucking?
He's always been on drugs.
Yeah.
I think you're on drugs.
Oh, come on, man. Come on.
How much you had to drink tonight, dude? I know he's not on drugs, but he's definitely had some drinks. How many drinks?
Listen, God bless you guys, man. I'm looking forward to your guest. How about that? Curfew 8 to 8. I love you. Bye-bye.
Wow. All right, then.
That was important.
That was a good one.
That was a goodie. All right. Well, anyway, getting back to the whole... craze of things. Yeah. I was thinking about that since Johnny was coming on the show, and how games have come and gone, and you know, the video world, and this is kind of unrelated to the gaming thing, but remember Furbies?
Furbies.
They were the little furry thing, and it would like blink its eyes and talk and shit.
Oh yeah. That was what, early 90s or whatever?
Yeah, it was mid 90s. It was like 96, 97, I think, somewhere around there.
Was that before or after the Beanie Baby?
It was right in the same time frame.
So I remember my friend Scotty was way into the Beanie Babies.
Yeah, I know. And you told that story how he spent a shit ton of money on the Beanie Baby thing.
Spent tens of thousands of dollars.
They're going to be valuable.
Yeah.
My dad's second wife, she was into that. And my sister, who, you know, helped my dad out because he's 95. She said that she was kind of helping clean up the basement and stuff. She said, she ran, you know, those big plastic totes, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She said there were totes and totes of these Beanie Babies in the basement.
Yeah. He probably had $50,000 that he spent on them. They're worth about $150.
Not my dad. His deceased wife. Yeah.
He said
there were bins of them.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you couldn't sell a whole bin for $20 now.
No, not at all.
If you gave them to Goodwill, they wouldn't accept them.
Get this trash out of here.
Right.
Oh boy. Just the ridiculousness. Have you been a fanatic? The only thing that I've ever stood in line for is just to go to an event like a record release thing at midnight or something.
Yeah.
You're just there with the same ilk of people. All your metal friends were there, you know, waiting for the new Metallica or whatever it was, you know, and of course the local radio station would be out there pumping up the whole thing and making it an event and, you know, that kind of a thing. That was more of an event than I got to have that record. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I've done that a couple of times. Metallica was one. GNR was one. In fact, I can name them. That's how few there were. There was Pearl Jam versus. There was Use Your Illusions, and there was Black Album. Those two were at the warehouse in California. I certainly remember those. But other than the Led Zeppelin box set, which they sold out of. So as I've told on the show, so then I stole it when I worked.
That's funny because I too got that box set at the warehouse in California.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, but you paid for yours.
I did pay for mine. Well, actually, it was a gift. It was actually a gift. The girl I was dating at the time, she got it for me, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
But we picked it up at the warehouse, you know. Yeah. So that was a, you know, that was another good store, music and
was.
Store. They had a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, it was a good store. I like that store.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, nothing has been so important to me that I had to go out and stand in line to get the new gizmo or gadget or the phone or the game or whatever it is, you know. And it's just, you know, especially the iPhone. I remember the iPhone craze not even 14 years ago with like the iPhone 6 or something came out, or the maybe even before that, like the iPhone 4.
Yeah.
You know, and people were standing in line to get it for hours. Yeah, getting that.
Old school.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. We made a whole bit out of that.
We did. The closest I come anymore to that is sometimes I'll stay up till midnight to catch a new record or a new record being released on YouTube Music or something. You know, but, you know, me saying I'm staying up till midnight is not exactly like, wow, am I really stretching it? I really don't go to bed before that anyway, but you know, that's about as far as I go anymore. I can't, like, I see a lot of people that'll like, what, even when tickets go on sale, I'll see a bunch of people on fucking social media that'll be like, dude, does anybody got a code? You know, they're so that they can get in on the pre-sale or whatever.
Pre-sale tickets. Yeah.
And I'm just like, you're really going to log into Ticketmaster and sit there and hit refresh until you get to fuck that. I don't, there's no concert I want to go to that bad.
Right.
I think I'm just over all of it. I'm over society. I'm just everything that's involved with society. I'm done with.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be a part of it.
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. I mean, it's just been ruined. I mean, you know, again, we're a capitalist society, and, you know, capitalism does have its boundaries or limits when it comes to when it is a good thing to where it becomes a destructive thing.
Yeah.
And I think we're in the destructive phase because everything is money oriented. Everything mm-hmm. is capital oriented, and it takes the fun out of everything. It's just not fun anymore.
No, it's not. Everything, no matter what, is costing so much or raising their costs so much that we're officially at the phase where you're starting to make decisions on, are you going to do this or are you going to do that? Which we haven't been in that phase in a really long time.
Yeah, I agree.
But now all of a sudden, like I did that this week, me and, I'll just say my collection of friends who also might happen to be related to me when it comes to television.
Right.
You know, we had some talks this week about what we're canceling and what we're keeping. Because every single one of these fucking cocksucking platforms is raising their rates.
Sure.
And we're just like, all right, who wants to spend this much? Who wants to spend more money for this? Do we need to keep this? Is there a bootleg way to get that? And that's really, we spend half of the week figuring that shit out.
Is that one of those discussions you have at the kitchen table that Biden talks about all the time?
Oh, absolutely. thank you, Joe, for making this happen, you fuck.
Right. We had to have those discussions at the kitchen table.
Yeah, well, did ya? He don't know. He doesn't even know what a kitchen table is. His fucking brain works like a kitchen table.
Well, he is a fan of the Lou Reed Metallica release. He is the table.
Yeah, he is the table, exactly. The
table.
Got the brain of a table. Oh, fucking wooden, retard.
Wooden head.
Yeah, he is retarded.
But anyway, what else is going on with you?
I've been sick all week, and I still don't feel well. Yeah, I don't feel especially great tonight, but so I finally got my car fixed.
Yes.
That was the big thing. I finally got my car back just in time for a meeting that I had this week. You know, I had a meeting. It's for a pretty big gig that I'm working on. So we met at a diner, right? I go to this diner Tuesday morning. By 1 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, I feel like hell. Like, I don't know if I shook a hand or touched a plate that somebody else did or whatever, but I just was like, son of a bitch. And I have literally, I've been working, but I've been kind of
sluggish.
Work 3 or 4 hours, then take a nap, then work 3 or 4 more hours and take a nap. You know, it's been one of those kind of weeks. So,
well, you got to take that quercetin and that vitamin D, man.
Yeah, I just need to take one of these fucking brass bullets right to the skull and be done with it. I'm so fucking tired.
Well, I ventured out on Thursday. I went out to see our good friends Red Rain. They came to the area. They played at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, Illinois, opening for Nazareth.
Right.
And I made the trip out to meet up with the guys. They were wrapping up their little five gig road trip that they started way up in Connecticut a week ago Thursday.
Right.
And, you know, they traveled to Delaware and they traveled to Ohio and Southern Indiana. And then over here to the upper part of Illinois. And then they wrapped it up. But, you know, they hadn't, the last time they were even remotely close to my area, even though we had them at Fiore's in Ohio a few years ago. And then they opened up for Dokken in Roanoke, Virginia, when I was with out on the road with Don. But they were here in the area, so I had to go out there and meet up with the guys and check out their set, as you're well aware, because a little video link to some of the video that I shot of their set. And they got 45 minutes to play at the Arcata. And then Sal was out there. Scarfoot came out there. They hung out. They kind of worked the stage. They made good roadies.
Nice.
Because as soon as Red Rain's set was over, they had to clear off the stage quickly. And so, you know, it's up to the band to clear off. But since I was there and Sal was there and Scarfoot was there, we were all jumped in and started hauling shit off the stage and out the back door to their van.
Right.
To get them out of there. But they did a good set. They got a really good reaction.
That's good.
They actually got two standing ovations.
Wow.
And the fans seemed to really dig them, you know. Highly unlikely that all of the people that were there even heard of Red Rain.
Right.
But I think, in my opinion, just from the reaction that I saw, I think Red Rain won some fans over. And not only that, but, you know, they brought their merchandise with them, and they were selling T-shirts and stickers and shot glasses and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And after we got everything cleared off the stage, the guys had to go up to the merch area to, you know, do a little meet and greet. Take
sure. Pictures and schmooze. Stuff.
They had a line of people.
Wow.
They had a nice line of people. It took about 30 minutes to get everybody through the line to get their pictures and get their autographs and buying their CDs. And, you know,
well, that's just because most of the crowd was having trouble moving their walkers along, wasn't it?
No, there was CMS people out there. You know?
Yeah, like I said, moving their walkers along.
But yeah, so they did really well. I think the reception was real good. You know, the people at the Arcata, they couldn't be better people to work with over there.
Sure.
The Onesti group. So, you know, they treated those guys very well. And it was a good time. It was a good hang. I got out there about 4:30, helped them get their gear set up. They were doing their setup and their sound check. And they did sound check up until the doors opened at 5.
Right.
Or 6. They opened at 6, I believe. And then, you know, we kind of had a little bit of a hang in the dressing room for a while until they went on at 7:30. And they put on a good show. So,
awesome.
You know, if you are a Locals member, you could see all the clips that I took.
And you took a lot. It's like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, well, I took the whole show. I recorded every one of the songs.
Yeah, it's quite the long video. I was surprised how much video it was. I was like, 20 minutes. Wow.
I was able to stand there and get at least 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes of song and you know, give people a taste of Red Rain Live.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah. And people should go classicmetalshow.locals.com. You can go there and you can witness it.
Yeah. So anyway, by the time they got their meet and greets done and we went back out, Sal and Scarfoot were good enough to stand outside on the sidewalk there while the guys were in doing the meet and greet and kind of guarding the equipment because it was right out on the sidewalk, you know, so they could go out there and break it all down and pack it all up and get it in the van. And They cut out of there about a quarter after 9 Central time, and right. I cut out at the same time to go home. I was home and in bed by 11.
Oh, you didn't stay for Nazareth?
No, I was 100 miles away.
Yeah,
you know, St. Charles is 100 miles from where I live, so I had about a little more than a 90-minute drive home.
Okay, yeah.
So I was able to get home and. Sal and Scarfoot hung out in St. Charles, I guess. I don't know if they even saw the show, to be honest with you. I think they went across the street to the bar. So I have no idea what the hell they did after I left. But but the guys hit the road, and Sammy said they drove all night long and got home at 1 o'clock Eastern time the next day.
Wow.
Friday. So
that's a drive.
It is a drive. You know, they had a they kind of did a little caravan. They had a, you know, they had like the bigger kind of like the, what do you want to call that? The tradesman type van,
mm-hmm.
for the equipment. And then they had the minivan to, you know, for the passengers.
Right. And
so they were able to caravan across the country and do their 5 shows.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So at least they got to get out on the road and exercise some of the new material because, I think they played 4 songs off the new album and at least 2 songs off the EP.
Right.
You know, so good show overall. good to see the guys. Glad they were ever able to get out. Glad to see some of the CMS people out there and come up and say hello. I want to say hello to Joe. You'll get this. This kid comes up to me and he goes, Neely. I go, yeah, young guy, early 20s. He says, man, I've been wanting to meet you and Chris. He says, I've been listening since I was 14 years old. and I started a magazine. He has a magazine for like 4 years. It's called Defenders of the Faith magazine.
Okay.
And he said, I actually started the magazine, from the inspiration and the influence of you guys.
Wow.
You know, he said, so I saw what you guys do and you did it independently and did it on your own. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do that too.
Nice.
So, so he's started his, Defenders of the Faith magazine and he's, you know, interviews different musicians and, reviews, you know, music and stuff. And he had the full on, battle jacket on, had all the patches on it,
you know, right?
All the 80s patches. It was definitely an 80s looking jacket, you know,
right?
Had the Armored Saints and the Dawkins and the Rats and the Wasps and, you know, all the big ones from the 80s on that, on his vest, you know.
Nice.
So it was pretty cool. It was good to meet him. He was a very, very cool guy and, very, very appreciative of what we do.
Sure.
And I want to say hello to Mark Sanderson. He was out there as well. And people come up and said hello and say, hey, it's good to see you. You know, I thought you'd be out here.
Right.
So here I was.
There you were. No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, dude, since we're doing that tributizing people, do you want to go into this sad topic that you know that I'm going to bring up?
Well, I mean,
it's short, but
you can get into that only because you've had, communication.
Yeah, I've had some conversation.
Communications.
Yeah, and I do want to acknowledge it because I think he may be listening tonight, you know, like right now, before it gets late. So we have a very long time, very loyal fan.
Hardcore
fan named Dan Payne. Hardcore
CMSer.
Yeah, and he... He came out, saw us, met us at Melodic Rock Fest, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever that was.
It was 2018, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But big fan, bought my books. He wears our swag to shows. He's a hardcore metal guy. Like, he goes to tons and tons and tons of shows.
Yeah, he travels.
He travels. He's been on the cruises numerous times. He travels all over to see shows.
He spends his money where his passion is.
Exactly. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we got some word that he had a pretty major health thing. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, he had a stroke. And, you know, I was keeping up with it kind of like a friend of his was posting on his Facebook that he was, you know, that he was doing better, but he was still in the hospital, whatever. And then yesterday, I guess it was, or the day before, I guess it was yesterday. Was it yesterday?
I believe
it. Whenever I sent it to you.
I believe it was yesterday, yeah.
He posted, well, I'll put it up. Where's the thing? He posted this. Hey, friends and family of Dan, here's an update. I know a lot of you will have questions from Dan. I have chosen to go home and pass away peacefully on my terms. Please know that I fought hard. I appreciate all the interaction we have had over the years. I appreciate everyone who has reached out, prayed, and showed concern for me during this time. I am happy and at peace with my decision. Most importantly, I have accepted Jesus, blah, blah, blah. You know, it goes just a little quiet thing. Now, he is, as you can see, I in 2 seconds, I was able to find a couple of pictures of Dan sporting the CMS gear at shows.
Right.
You know, I mean, it took me all of 2 seconds to find a couple of pictures. I mean, he's a hardcore CMS guy.
Yeah.
And not that that matters. I mean, you don't want to see anybody pass away or whatever. I mean, you don't. I gotta give him mad respect for doing it his own way, though. You know, I mean, that's if you're going to go out and you know that you're not, going to, you know, survive, that's a cool way to do it. So I don't have clips of this cause there was a little bit of personal stuff in it too, but, I'll read some of, I got a personal message directly from him, yesterday evening as well. It's addressed to me and you, and I just didn't send it cause again, I haven't been feeling well either, but it just says, hi, Chris. I know we only met one time in 2018. I don't mean to burden you with this issue. I want you to know that I'm appreciative of you and Neely for providing me hours of entertainment over the years. I recently had a major medical issue and decided to go home and pass on my own terms. Feel free to pass this on to Neely. Thanks, Dan. And, you know, and then we traded some stuff back and forth. And just one of the clips, you know, that he passed was, I feel like I know you and Neely better than some of my friends and family, as crazy as that sounds. I really enjoyed you both. Take care. And I was just like, whew, that's some heaviness. You know, that's some heaviness. And of course, I answered that in the way that only I would do. I said, say hi to Dimebag and badass Brian Boone for us. Typical me being a douche. Yeah. But he would get that.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so yeah, I mean, this is... It's really sad to see, and I don't know, it really made me reflect in a way on what me and you do, and it's really, it's humbling to me.
Well,
it is, and
I agree, I absolutely agree.
You know, it's very humbling that somebody that we've only met once, and I mean, I've interacted with Dan over the years and stuff, but, you know, it's humbling to hear that we played any kind of part in anybody's life, let alone sounds like a fairly, I don't want to say major, but, you know, we gave him some entertainment, probably when he was in shitty moods or whatnot. And that's, you know, that's humbling to say the least. And the other thing is, I got to say, there's a bit of pride to hear somebody that's doing it, that's, you know, knows what's going down and is tackling it instead of being afraid of it. You know, going down in your own terms is the best way to go down if you have to, which everybody has to. You know, at some point, everybody has to pass. And I can certainly respect somebody that's going on their own terms.
Right.
That's always better than, well, I'm sitting here holding out hope when there's no hope to have, sitting in a hospital with 400 tubes in you.
Sure.
So, you know, Dan, if you're listening, man, thank you for the messages and, you know, yeah,
thank you, Dan,
and Godspeed. You know, I don't know what else to really, it's weird. What do you say to somebody that's going to pass away? I have no idea. I don't know what you say, or see you later doesn't seem appropriate.
Yeah, that is a tough pill to swallow for most people. So, you know, I get that a lot. Yeah. Oh, I sat there and ruminated on it for, you know, quite a few hours yesterday.
Yeah, after
it sent me that, you know, and it was just, you know, and again, it made me think about, you know, the people who came up and said hello at the Arcata.
Sure.
You know, and told me, you know, the most common thing that people say is, you and Chris make me laugh.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. when I get the most. You guys are so funny. You make me laugh. Like that kid Joe, he said, you know, whenever I have a bad day, he says, all I have to do is go and listen to the CMS podcast. And you guys always make me laugh and put me in a better mood.
Right. And that's humbling.
It is. You know? I agree.
It's weird. I don't think it puts pressure on us because I don't think we think of it that way. Yeah. The truth of the matter is I think it takes a situation like this. I'm not trying to put a positive spin on an awful thing, but I think it takes somebody reaching out in a situation like this that really makes it so that we're reminded what we do and what it means to, you know, a few people, however many people that is.
I mean, we're a niche thing and not everybody gets it and not everybody has that interest or has that sense
right.
of humor or has that viewpoint on life or whatever the case may be, whatever you take away
right.
from the show, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, it's not. But those that it is for, man, they connect with us like nobody's business.
Sure.
And it's very, very humbling. It's like, you know, I ain't gonna lie. There was a part of me tonight, because I don't feel good, that was like, I should probably call Neely and just fucking stay in bed. But then it's stuff like that that's like, you know what? There's somebody got a lot worse than me. And if I can give him an hour of entertainment or two or six or whatever in his last hours, I'm going to be here to do it.
Right.
You know, it's like, whew. I don't know. That was a pretty weighty one to yesterday and into today, man. I mean, And even right now, it's fucking, it's heavy, man. It's definitely, we joke around a lot and tell a lot of dick jokes, but you know, this is the opposite of that right now.
Absolutely.
That this is going on to one of ours. And I don't like it to go on to anybody, but I certainly hate it for one of ours. But Dan, if you're listening, man, power to you, my friend. Hope we give you a couple good laughs tonight as well. So,
right. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for reaching out, Dan. I appreciate it. And I'm glad Chris and I could, you know, be your friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so that's always going to be that'll live with me for as long as I'm here.
Yeah, me too, man. And you know, and traveling to see us, that was crazy too. I mean, went to Melodic Rock Fest to meet us,
right?
You know, that's like, who the fuck are we?
Yeah,
you
I know.
We're too what? We're just two dummies with fucking webcams. Who are we to constitute that? But at the same time, here's people that do that, and just like you said at the Arcata Thursday, you had people that came out and wanted to meet you, and that's cool. And it's
come up and say hello, and I was hoping you were going to be here, and I wanted to tell you how much I enjoy you and Chris, and you guys are always so funny, and I never miss a show, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's always cool.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very cool, very humbling, and stuff like what's going on with our friend Dan here remind us that we need to be humble, I think.
Sure, I agree.
You know, we don't need to be fucking Eddie Trunk anymore, you know.
Exactly.
All right, let's do this.
Yes.
Let's do. I'm going to say this. We play one song just because Johnny's waiting in the other green room.
Oh, okay.
Play one song and then we'll come right back with Johnny.
All right, that's fair enough.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Well, since he's going to come on and talk about, you know, his visit there to Pinball PA, and of course, he's the front man for Axel Rudy Pell. Axel Rudy Pell has a new song out called Guardian Angel.
That's right.
So I think that would be a great way to bring Johnny back on the show. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
All right, we're going to play one song, and we're going to bring the great Johnny Gioeli on the show and talk to him.
Perfect.
All right, so here's brand new Axel Rudy Pell, and this one is called Guardian Angel, exclusively here.
On your Classic Metal Show.
The true hub for Chris Aiken Presents is their website, www.chrisaiken.net. You can watch all live episodes of the show live. Participate in the chat as well. You can get past shows in both audio and video on demand formats. Join Eric Ferrantinos' VIP Facebook group right from our page. Bookmark it today. www.chrisaiken.net. That's chrisakin.net.